Thanks for tuning in to this message from the Los Altos Grace Brethren Church. We hope this will be an encouragement to you. You can find out more messages and more about our church at www.lagbc.org.
Now, I was thinking about that last song we sang, you know, and the whole idea of the simple gospel. And the simple gospel is the key to everything in life. It's not only the key to our salvation, and knowing that Christ came, that he lived a perfect life, that he died in our place, that God raised him from the dead as proof that that sacrifice was accepted, and that he has promised us an eternity of relationship with him. That good news is good news for our present, is good news for our past, is good news for our future. And it's also good news for our relationships, because as God has called us into this eternal relationship with him, he wants us to learn to reflect that character in our relationships with each other. Okay, now, we've been talking a lot about different aspects of what it takes in order to have good relationships with other people. We've talked about things like forgiveness and reconciliation and love in general. And all of those things, each and every one of them, is kind of based off how God deals with us. You know, when we look at how God deals with us, when we understand how God deals with us, it changes the way that we think. And knowing that God has provided everything we're ever going to need, that he has already, through this simple gospel, given us an eternal relationship with him that nothing can ever get in the way of, should allow us the freedom then to be able to risk the kinds of things we will need to do if we're truly going to love each other, if we're going to see our relationships actually work. So today we're going to be talking about patience. Now, you guys may have heard you should never, ever pray and ask God for patience, right? Yeah, you want to be done already, don't you, Pat? Yeah, he's pointing at his watch already. I'll get you guys out of here sometime. But it's right. You never want to pray for patience, because when you pray for patience, what happens? God does things in your life that's going to require patience so that you learn how to have it. At least that's the way the old joke goes. Or maybe you pray this way: Lord, I need patience, and I need it right now. I wish that it really worked that way, but it doesn't. Leonardo da Vinci put it this way. He said, "Patience serves as protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind." This picture that patience is something that can grow in us. It's not something that we get instantly. It's not something that that maybe even in a moment that we seem to have enough of to be able to deal with the moments that are coming our way. But God will provide us with, through his Spirit, the power, the ability to offer ourselves to him in a way that will let us live out this idea. Patience serves as a protection against wrongs. You know, people are going to hurt you. We talked about this when we talked about forgiveness. We talked about it when we talked about reconciliation. The fact is, because all of us are fallen, all of us are sinners, we're going to hurt each other. And we need to learn how to protect ourselves against that, how to be able to maintain relationships in the midst of that kind of pain. And patience is a key to that. Here, Leonardo da Vinci, who, you know, I don't even know what his faith really was. I guess I could have looked into that, but I didn't. But here's a guy who seemed to understand that when wrongs get bigger, more patience is required. And it serves as a buffer between us and the hurt, and allows us then to be able to deal with situations better. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says this: "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness." And before we start this discussion, I want to make it absolutely clear that patience comes from one place and one place only, and that's God. Okay? I don't believe that there's a person here who can manufacture patience. If you have it, to whatever extent you have it, it's a gift that comes from God. Here he's describing it as a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. So when we become believers in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is placed inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is always working in us to conform us to the image of Christ. He's working in us to develop character in us that is more and more like the character of Jesus all the time. And patience is one of these fruit. Now, I found it interesting in my own life that as I've gotten older, I seem to be less patient. Would you guys agree with that? I'll point at my family over here. So, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. I should be getting more patient as I get older, not less patient as I get older. But I think some of the things that happen is you just kind of get tired of stuff. You know, it wears on you. You put up with it. And then finally, you just kind of like, I'm not putting up with that anymore. Have you ever noticed how usually old people lose their filter? And I don't mean to, you know, call anyone out as I'm looking around here, but you know, it's the same kind of effect, I think, and yet it shouldn't be, okay? The fruit should be growing in us at all times, along with love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and peace. We should also be growing in patience, but we need to understand where the source is, okay? The source is from our patient God, okay? And so he builds these things into our lives. And if we're going to have those be a part of our lives, we really have to do the terrible thing and ask God to increase our patience. Okay? Because if we don't ask, we don't receive. But if we do ask, we do. So patience comes from God. I want us to take a look first at kind of the whole concept of who God is and sort of why he's patient and why we need to deal with him on that level. Because I think that understanding the patience that God shows us will help us to understand how to show patience to others. I also think that on a regular basis, it's something that we have a difficult time with as human beings, and that is that we're just kind of always in a hurry, right? It's another way for saying impatient. We want what we want, and we want it now. And I believe that our society, the culture that we live in today, and the whole concept of instant gratification, you know, we keep shrinking things down so everything is fast. Everything's quick. You know, when microwaves first came out, I know it was, oh, my gosh, it's so fast. You know, now we almost can't wait for that, right? Or how about dial-up? Do you guys remember dial-up, any of you, you know, for the Internet? You know, and you'd wait 4 hours to get something to download, you know, just watching that little wheel spin on your computer. Do you know how annoyed we get now if the little wheel spins at all on our computer? Right? We want it, and we want it now, don't we? And so I think there's a sense in which getting things quickly also has a way of stripping us of patience because we get used to getting what we want when we want it. And I think this applies to prayer as well as anything else. So the first place I want you to think about patience is thinking about it in terms of patience with God. When we pray, and when those answers from God are sort of slow and no, right? That's what we hear back. What happens? How do you guys respond to that? Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, I'm betting everybody has, right? You pray, and it either seems like God didn't listen, God doesn't care, God has no power. It seems like it's got to be one of those things because he certainly isn't answering the way that I want him to answer. In James chapter 1, James encourages us all with these words. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Another word for patience. Okay. I often believe that when we pray, we ask God for things, and we usually ask for specifics, don't we? You guys, like, let's say you're sick or something. You want to be healed. You want to be healed now. You don't want to be healed later. If you you have a child who's wayward, you want them to come to their senses now. You don't want them to come to their senses later, right? And so as you ask God for specifics, I often think, you know, he knows a lot better than I do how to answer prayers. So why is it that I tell him how to do things? Do you ever think about that? I've started trying this practice, and I would just encourage you guys to give this a shot and see how it works for you. But instead of praying for specifics or a specific chain of events that I want to see happen in a person's life in order for their life to be changed and transformed, because I'm all wise and I know exactly what it's going to take. Instead, I like to picture in my mind what I would like to see at the end. Like if I'm counseling a couple who are having a hard time with each other, then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll picture in my mind them walking along on the beach, holding hands or arm in arm, smiling and joking with each other and enjoying life. Because that's what I really want, right? I want to see their relationship healed. Now, I could give God all the steps he ought to take, and then I could get mad when he doesn't take the ones I think he ought to take. Or I could just say, God, could you please make that happen? You know, and then trust him to make it happen, knowing that it's always going to take time for that to occur. And recognizing that for me, whenever I'm going through struggles, God is at work doing something in me. The struggles that I face are always producing patience, right? Because I have to wait. We do this as parents, right? We know that our kids ask for something. We can tell them no, because it isn't good for them. We can tell them maybe, you know, get back to me in a while. Or we can tell them later, we'll deal with this later. And we do that based on the wisdom we have as earthly parents, right? Well, how much more does God deserve our acknowledgement as someone who understands who we are and where we are and what we need, who understands how to answer prayers, understands how to push the right buttons at the right time so that people will embrace him and receive from him what they need. The other thing I like to do is I like to stop and think to myself, you know, I may be worrying about a particular person or worrying about myself and what it is I think God ought to do for me. But in all those situations, whether it's me or it's someone else, I know that God loves them more than I do. I know that God loves me even more than I do, which I know is hard to believe. But he does, right? He knows my innermost thoughts, my innermost being, and yet he loves us. Here's another verse to tag on to that. Hebrews chapter 13, 5, and we've read this verse many times. It says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. See, so when we're talking about God and wondering whether or not he's listening, you know, we need to remember that he's already made promises to us and that he intends to keep those promises. Whatever it happens to be, he will take care of us. What happens when you lose patience with God? Yeah, you suffer. That's what my buddy here just said. So you're losing patience with God. You think God's not fair, right? You think God is not here or there. He's not listening. Or we think that God does not care. Now let me ask you, are any one of those statements true? They're all lies, right? They're all lies. And most of us, if we look back at our lives, we can see plenty of instances where we asked God for something, God didn't seem to answer right away, we got mad, decided he wasn't there, or he didn't care, or he wasn't listening, or whatever the case may be, and then we got the answer, right? And it was like, oh, that's way better than I ever thought. I would never have figured out he would have done it that way. You guys have that experience? Right, so why is it when we find ourselves in that situation again that we seem so unable to remember what God did the last time? We go right back to God's not fair, God's not there, God doesn't care. God is patient with us. And if we put our heads on right, it's easy for us to be patient with him. We have to understand his perspective. First of all, he sees and he knows everything. Right? There's nothing that he ever misses. Psalm 147, 4 and 5 says this. It says, he counts the number of stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. Now listen to this line. His understanding is, what is it? Infinite. It has no end. Okay, it is absolutely complete. We talk about God as being omniscient. That means he knows everything. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows everything in the middle. He understands the motivations that make you do the things you do way better than you ever could. He understands everything about us. And so if we look to him and we recognize that that's who he is, first of all, you know, he can't miss anything. He knows it all. There's not a prayer ever that you've prayed that he didn't hear. There's actually not a prayer ever that you prayed that he didn't already know was coming. Right? That he didn't already know the content of it. That he didn't already know the heart behind. That he didn't already know the way that he was going to answer. Okay? God knows everything. Matthew 10:29-31 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows." God sees everything, he knows everything, he can count the number of hairs on your head. I can't count the number of hairs in my shower. Okay? You know, God... Yeah, God knows them all, right? He knows them all. And I want to make it so stupid that you remember, right? You've heard this verse a million times. Why don't we believe it? He feeds the birds. He feeds us. He cares for us. He takes care of everything for us. So if it seems a little slow at times, it's because it needs to be slow at times. And we have to come to a place where we understand and acknowledge that. So he sees and knows everything, and he also knows how to sympathize with our weaknesses. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy, I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly in spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." And Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." God understands us completely, not just with head knowledge. Okay, not just in this place where, yeah, I made them, so I kind of know what makes them tick, even though you would think that would be enough, right? But he understands us because he's lived in our skin. He entered into his own creation, became a man, lived like us. Faced the same kind of struggles, the same kind of difficulties that we face every day. And yet he never once caved, not ever once. That's why he was able to go to the cross and to die in our place. Because he fulfilled the law. He did everything his Father wanted him to do. But in that process, he learned something. And that's a mind-boggling concept that God could learn something. But he learned patience. The Bible actually says that. He learned patience. And he learned to sympathize with us. So he sees and knows everything. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. And he knows what's best for us. Matthew 7:9-11 says, "What man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" God loves you. He loves me. If it seems slow, if it seems like he's uncaring, it's a lie. It's there for a purpose. It's slow because he loves us, or because he knows the real answer to the prayer is going to require another moment in another place. It's not that he can't answer immediately, but sometimes the best answer comes at another place in history, right? Where God's Spirit combines with our path, and that place is better for us. That thing that we think we want, he knows right when to give it to us, right how to give it to us in a way that will touch and shape and bless us and touch and shape and bless those that we love. God's good. He's absolutely good. Well, let's talk about having patience with others. Okay, patience with others. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 13 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Okay. So it's obvious, right, that the scriptures indicate that we need to be patient with each other. That it's a command from God. It's something that he expects from us, is to show patience. Another way to use that is to say forbearance. Another word that is used in the scripture is the word long-suffering. Okay. The Greek word is the word makrothumia. Macro means big, right? Long time, just like it means in English. Thumia means to wait, right? So it's to suffer, actually. And it means you're going to suffer for a long time. Does anybody here want to suffer a long time? You know, what is he talking about? He's talking about us being willing to suffer someone else's issues, the pain that someone else inflicts upon us, the fact that someone else just can't seem to get their head around a concept that we've been trying to teach them for years. You know, the fact that someone has a struggle trusting God with their life. And sometimes I know that this happens to me. I just want people to trust. You know, I see people who are in fear and who are living out of that place of fear. And my heart goes out to them because I know it's destroying them. And yet I can't make them believe anything. I can keep tossing it out there. I can keep saying, hey, look, God loves you. He's watching you. He's taking care of you. But if they're still thinking that, you know, he's not fair, he's not there, then, you know, it makes no difference. The mind has to change. And only God can bring us to that place, I think, where we finally do embrace and change. Right? We can keep telling them, and we should keep telling them. You guys should keep telling me. But ultimately, God has to bring us to a place where all of that collides. Right? And we look up and we say, okay, I get it now. I'm going to trust you. You have my best interests in mind. You always have had my best interests in mind. He wants us to bear with one another. Patience doesn't mean that we're weak. This verse in Proverbs, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is glory to overlook a transgression." The book of James tells us that our God is slow to anger. Right? You can find it in the Old Testament too. He's filled with loving kindness. He's slow to anger. Doesn't mean that he never gets there, but it does mean that it's something that isn't right there ready to burst out at every single moment. Okay. There are times when you are practicing love in a relationship, where you are practicing forgiveness, where you are seeking reconciliation, where you are being long-suffering, that situations ultimately have to be confronted and dealt with. I think those times are fewer rather than more. Okay? Because I think patience requires us to wait and to hope and to pray and to help. But there are times when admonition is required in order for something to actually take place. There are times when you have to ask yourself, am I really going to be able to let this go this time? Am I really going to be able to forgive this person? Or am I just fooling myself? And by letting it go, what I'm really going to do is start backing away and keeping my distance, losing the relationship or the intimacy that's in that relationship. And if I find myself in that place and I'm kind of lying to myself that I really am able to forgive that person, I need to do whatever I have to do to find peace and to make reconciliation, because I don't want to lose the relationship. And so in those moments, you have to enter in, and still with a heart of kindness, still hoping for the best, actually deal with whatever the problem is so that you can get it taken care of and hopefully squared away. So I think the idea of being patient, it's not the idea that you just let yourself be walked on forever. But it's the idea that you're looking to always benefit the relationship And so you have to do what you have to do in that respect. You have to look to maintain, restore, whatever is required in order to see that relationship go forward. Now, sometimes, no matter what you do, it can't. And it's unfortunate when that happens. But it does happen, and I just want you to be aware of that. So how do we learn patience? Let me give you some steps. Okay? And these hopefully will be helpful. First thing you need to do is recognize that impatience is addictive. Okay? Once you start down the road of being quick to anger, and I often think that that's really what impatience does, is it brings us to that place where we have this frustration and anger in us that is really hard to control, and so it sort of spills over all the time. Like I have a couple of situations I know of where I have a real hard time with this. I've said to you before, I have a hard time driving. I have a very hard time being patient when I drive. And Lori admonishes me regularly. But I just struggle with that. Everybody seems to be in my way, you know, and I can't seem to break that cycle. And it's kind of like an addiction. It's my pattern for how to respond to other drivers. And it's something that I need to understand because it's the only way I'm going to be able to break it is to understand it. Okay? So I also think you got to set realistic goals. So let me tell you about this pattern that happens. Okay, you set a goal, and it's a goal that you want to accomplish, and yet someone else who you're in a relationship with is able to frustrate that goal. They're able to keep you from achieving the goal. So then what happens? You get frustrated inside, right? And then that frustration ultimately spills over into anger. And so this is the problem with the cars, right? Because my goal is to get there fast. And so when there's cars in the way, right, I get frustrated. And so what I have to do is I have to set different goals. Another place where I have this problem is getting ready to go on vacation. Okay, I have a goal to be in the car at this time and to be at the place at that time. You know, because I don't take journeys. I just race to the spot, okay? That's kind of how I live. I'm in too big of a hurry. I'm admitting this to you guys so you can pray for me, okay? But it's a struggle I have, and so it's a pattern I know. But my goal is causing the problem. Now, going on vacation, and I tried this. Didn't really work, but I'm going to give it to you as an idea anyways. I said I'm going to set a different goal. I'm going to set the goal to be the best husband and dad I can be while we're getting ready to go on vacation. Now, see, that's a goal that nobody can frustrate but me, right? And I frustrate myself, right? But are you getting the point? If I set a goal that no one else can get in the way of, you know, like if my goal driving was to enjoy the time talking with my wife while we're driving to a place instead of trying to get there, then, you know, the cars couldn't get in my way. They couldn't frustrate my goal. And so thinking about realistic goals, things that you know you could actually accomplish can help you with your impatience. Because I know for sure there's always going to be drivers who are in my way, and we're never going to leave for vacation on time. Those two things I know with absolute certainty, right? So why try? Okay. Impatience is addictive. You got to set realistic goals. You got to slow down. Okay? You got to slow down. And this is a choice that you make, right? To say I'm gonna back off this hurriedness that is driving me constantly to this place of impatience. When something happens, and you feel yourself starting to tense up. And the words are bubbling up to the top. Stop. Okay, just stop. Take a breath. Maybe 3, maybe 10. Okay? But don't do anything. Just relax a little bit. And it'll give you a chance to understand what's going on, to recognize where the situation is, and to be able to respond appropriately. You know, it's training yourself. It really is training yourself to have a different pattern of responses to common things that happen in your life. Slow down. Another thing to do, especially when you're dealing with relationships with people, is to learn to empathize. You know, the old adage is, right, you know, walk a mile in their shoes before you judge them. But try to understand what's really going on inside them. You know, if they're doing something constantly that is driving you nuts, try to understand why that is. Often once you do understand, it makes it a lot easier for you to then be able to deal with that person in a patient way. I think you also have to have realistic expectations. This is kind of like setting realistic goals. But it's recognizing that for yourself and for the other person in the relationship, for yourself, you're probably not going to be as patient as you'd like to be. Okay? For the other person, they're probably not going to change as quickly as you want them to. You know, so you're going to have to make a choice somewhere in there to let things go, to back off, to slow down, to set other goals, but to realize that that things aren't going maybe to change, and maybe they may never change. You know, and if they never change, then the responsibility is still on us, right? To deal kindly, lovingly, tenderly, patiently with whoever we're in relationship with. Another way I think that's helpful is to look at the overall relationship. So you're focused on a person and you're focused on the thing they do that drives you nuts. Well, are there other things they do that you like? You know, usually there's lots of things in a relationship that cause us to have that relationship. The reasons that we're connecting with people. And there's this one little thing that just bugs us, and we'll let that become the only thing in the relationship. Okay? So we have to back up. Again, take a breath. Look at the whole thing and understand that there's more value there than just the little piece that's bothering us. And then, as I already said, you got to be patient with being patient. Let God work it in you. Keep asking, keep praying, keep trying. You know, as you focus on trying to deal with relationships, you work. But at the same time, you know that where there isn't a way, God's the one who has to find that way for you. So you trust, right? Got to be patient with being patient. I want to close with this one verse. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. Think about that. We count those blessed who endured. You look at Hebrews chapter 11 and you read that whole thing that we call the Hall of Faith, and you talk about people who are being sawn in half, or, you know, are suffering all kinds of persecutions, who nobody ever listened to. Who, you know, somebody like Abraham who waited until he was 100 to finally get the baby that God had promised him. You know, there's lots of places, right, where we can look for examples. And we look at them and we say, wow, I love that life. I want the end of their life. The trouble is, we can't get the end of their life without actually living their life. Okay? God just doesn't snap it up for you. As we endure, we will find that there is a blessing that comes with it. He goes on to say, you have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. I'm not going to recite the whole story to you, but suffice it to say that God took everything Job had, absolutely everything Job had, his health, his family, his money, he took it all. And then in the end, he restored it to Job, having taught Job a lesson about who God is. Seems extreme. And yet here is God demonstrating that he will be compassionate and merciful toward us. So if there's anything that I could encourage you with, it's that. That relationships are always going to be sticky. You're always going to have times where there are difficulties. And into those things, we have to bring tender hearts, forgiving hearts, patient hearts. And if we were willing to do that, trusting God to provide us with what we need to make that happen, not thinking that it's on us to shoulder it all ourselves, but recognizing that he will lift those burdens for us and carry them along with us, then I think we will find that our relationships, whether those relationships are at home or at work or at school or in the church, that those relationships will flourish in ways that we can't imagine, simply by us being the ones who bring a different attitude, a different mindset to the process. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for you being patient with us. Lord, you're not in a hurry, because you know the end from the beginning. You know exactly when, where, why, and how for everything in our lives. But Lord, we look to you now, and we ask you to fill us with your Spirit. We ask you to give us grace, Lord, so that we might be able to be filled with patience and to deal with each other patiently the way you deal with us. Lord, give us this kind of heart, this heart that's filled with your Spirit and filled with the fruit that comes from your Spirit, so that we can love each other the way you love us. Lord, we know that you've called us to this community, to this life together. And I pray that you give us this salve of patience, Lord, so that we can deal with each other in kindness and tenderness and love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.